chapter 3 tonight. Good to be in the house of God. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world." I'm glad I'm in the world tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad God loved me. Just don't say God so loved the Jews or Israel. It says God so loved the world. You're a part of it. And if He hadn't loved the world, I wouldn't have a hope or a chance.
Right.
He hadn't showed His love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The greatest gift that ever was given to human man was Christ. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Have you thought tonight, recently, about just how good it is to be saved? I mean, it's just good to be saved. I mean, to know you're saved, know God's in your heart, know you're not condemned. When you look at the scripture here tonight, verse 18, the Bible said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." But the Bible said, on the other hand, he that believeth not is condemned already. And He gave the reason why man is condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I want to preach tonight, God to help me on that verse and talk about being condemned or completely condemned. You know, when you look at the verse of Scripture, it says condemned already. Well, if you look up the word already, it means completely. Man's already condemned. He can't better himself. He's completely condemned. And God's got to do something for him to get him out of condemnation. You know what the word condemned means? Listen to this. It means a judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. It also means pronounced to be wrong, guilty, worthless, or forfeited. You know, we're born condemned. And it progressively gets worse, everything. You know, God says we're condemned and nothing's any better. You can be a church member all your life and still be condemned. You can't be saved and be condemned, but you can be a member of a local church and be condemned. And, you know, I think about that woman that had that issue of blood for 12 years. She didn't get no better. The Bible said she rather grew worse. And I found it out to be true. Men that try many different avenues and other ways to try to lift the wrath and condemnation of God rather grow worse. They don't get no better. You think about this woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She went to all these physicians, spent all she had, and never got no better. Always got worse. She spent everything she had to try to find a cure for that plague that she had. She rather grew worse. You know what was good about that? Thank God she gave out. She gave out of money. She gave out of men. Amen. Doctors. And one day she heard there was a man by the name of Jesus coming through. And he was going to Jairus' house, thank God, to go and raise his daughter from the dead. In fact, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, and he got to Jesus, amen. And as they was going, people were thronging him. And the Bible said, this woman said, "If I may but what? Touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Thank God, I tell you, she got to believe in, didn't she?
And brother, the Bible said she pressed through and reached and just touched the hem of his garment. Amen. And brother, her blood was dried up and she was healed from that very day. Amen. Jesus called her daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You remember the day, thank God, you reached out as a lost sinner and God saved you and put something in you. Thank God that changed you and made you whole. Amen. But I want to say tonight, friend, there's many people that's condemned tonight. Didn't the Bible say, few there be that find the narrow path? Few there be that find the way of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this, I thought about that rich ruler this week. Was writing about uncertain riches. And one thing, you know, about this man that had much possessions, and he come to Jesus and he kneeled before him and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to keep the commandments. And he told him the commandments, and he said, all these have I observed from my youth up. And Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. Sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me. And the Bible said he walked away grieved, for he had much riches or many possessions. And I got to thinking about this. That man kneeled, but he did not yield. Amen. I'm going to tell you, man can kneel, but number one, listen, he's got to yield unto the call of God. He's got to yield to Jesus Christ. If he ever gets out of hell, if he ever gets out of the condemnation that's upon him tonight. And so we find tonight there's the place of the condemned. You say, preacher, why is men condemned tonight? Men are condemned because of unbelief. They have no saving knowledge of truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the knowledge of God's got to come to you. John talked about how then that that's taught of God, every man that's taught of God cometh to him, because that's a God teaching. You can't be talked into getting saved. Brother, it's a work of grace and God, between you and God, that you come to that place. Hey, if you got to have the saving knowledge, he said they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, the knowledge of the truth is Jesus Christ is the infallible Son of God, the Word of faith, which we preach. Notice this, they will not believe in the record of his Son. John said, and this is the record that God had given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the life, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Is eternal life not tonight not sewed up in one thing, and thus he that hath the Son, he that's been born again into the family, has the Spirit of Christ in him, has the Son of God in him, has possessional, he that hath the Son. When did you get him, preacher? Thank God, the day that I believed. And he came in, thank God, and saved me. And brother, I came unto the knowledge of the truth. Men will not believe the record of his Son. I want to say this, men will not believe the revelation of himself. Amen. I mean, brother, the Bible said we're lost. Sinners unclean and undone and without God. And we've got to believe that's where we're standing. If we've never been to redemption's, praise God, the place that we've been redeemed, redemption's Calvary, where Jesus was hung on an old rugged cross to purchase the people that would come to him. And brother, redemption tonight, thank God we've been redeemed. In whom we have been redeemed. Listen, friend, tonight, it's not the what of redemption, it's the whom of redemption. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And so salvation is believing him. And it's also believing the realization tonight, or the revelation of his own self. That when you're lost, hey God, the Holy Ghost has to reveal that. And you have to admit to God what you are. You can't, my friend, say, well, if I'm not maybe I'm not saved. Or if I'm not saved, save me. You can't approach God like that. But Peter, my friend, didn't say, Lord, if I'm sinking, save me. Thank God he said, Lord, save me. It's going down, brother. And mankind and us are going down in sin. I've heard people say, well, let me lead you into assurance. You can't lead nobody into assurance. Brother, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost has the only one give them that assurance. Amen, brother. Assurance is given by God. And brother, it's given by the Spirit. Thank God the day's saved. And there's been times in your life that you might not be as full of assurance as other times. But can I tell you this? The Word of God and the Spirit of God don't change. Hey, you know Peter said that a man can forget that he's purged from his old sin. That's a pretty way back. Amen. He said the man could forget if he don't have his faith in things. He said he's blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he's been purged from his old sin. Wherefore, brethren, I tell you, he said, make your calling and election sure. Make sure in your heart that you have passed from death unto life and you don't have a religious counterfeit, but you've got a real salvation that the Holy Ghost wrought in your heart. Amen. That's right. And so you got to realize you're lost. You've got to get under conviction and see you're a sinner without God, without hope. And only God can do that. Amen. And so tonight, they won't believe the record of a son, revelation of a self. But they will not believe the ruination of sin, friend. What sin will do to a man? The Bible said the wages of sin is death tonight. You know what the Bible said in Genesis 4:7? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. Now sin was upon Cain because he did not bring the right offering to God. And it was the offering. It was the offering that God said, Abel, I offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And the reason Cain wasn't accepted was Cain wouldn't bring the blood sacrifice and submit to what God said would accept him into the family. Amen. I'll tell you, friend, Cain was a sinner. He is rejected by God because he didn't have the right offering or the right sacrifice that God would accept. God's got to accept what you offer. And you got to offer sinner. Amen. You can't offer God nothing. You have nothing to offer him but the sinner. Amen. But brother, you're not looking to the works of the flesh or your own hands like Cain was to redeem you and get you accepted in the beloved. You know it's all by grace and in the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. It's a sad thing. You listen to me tonight. There's churches across America tonight that's misled and deceiving people into some lie that they think because they're sprinkled as an infant and they're catechized into a church that they're all right. Do the best you can. That's what Cain did. But God would not accept it. Hey, friend, you know why Cain slew his brother? Brother Abel, because his works were righteous, and his was not righteous, and God said he's a child of the devil. Amen. I'll tell you the reason tonight that the Pharisees wanted to murder our Lord and hang him on a cross is because he was righteous and they were unrighteous. Amen. He wouldn't meet the qualifications of their little religious system of men, but he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And they said, we need to crucify him and have him killed. He's not with us. I'm telling you that he's not with anybody unless they're with him. Hey, brother, I'm going to tell you this tonight. It's not you. I ain't got him getting in your corner. You better get in his. Amen. It's not you trying to find a way. I tell you, he is the way. And brother, tonight, there's only one way. And sin and ruin a man. A sin take a man to hell. A sin, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's right. That's right. And people say, well, he's a good old boy. He went to heaven. No, he went to hell if he's going by that. You're not going, there ain't a man that's going to walk in the, that'll ever step into God's heaven because he was a good man.
Right.
He's going because, thank God, he met the man Christ Jesus, who's the mediator between God and men. Amen. That people will go to hell as fast as my friend. Thank God, like that old brother John said, as a jaybird touch nest.
Yeah.
That's how fast they go into hell because they're trying to attain righteousness that they never will obtain. They're trying to obtain a way to heaven that they don't know, and brother, they're not the people of God. And there was a time you wasn't too. That's why the Bible said at one time we wasn't a people, but now we are a people of God. One time we didn't have mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. At one time we was without Christ and without hope, but then they die by the blood of Christ. Amen. That's right. There's a time in everybody's life. No matter how old you are, you got to get under conviction.
Right.
And you got to see yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner. And you got to plead for mercy at Calvary in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him. That's where the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only ones that will do that is the ones in desperation. Amen. And you see yourself lost. And there's a Savior, thank God, to save anybody that will come to Him and needing to be saved. Amen. But He's not a spare tire and He's not fire insurance. Amen. I didn't get saved just to get out of hell. I got saved because I wanted Him and I wanted out of sin. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, a man that wants to use him for fire insurance, not to go to hell, he won't never come in. He's looking for them, thank God, they want him and not the benefits of him. Amen. That's what Jesus told that crowd in John 6. He said, you fall in me for the wrong reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That's why when he said, didn't he say that in John 6? He said over there, he said, the Spirit quickeneth. Flesh profit nothing. The words I speak unto you, their spirit and life. And he said, no man can come to me except the Father have given them or draw them. And what the Bible say? Many of his disciples wanted him no more. You know why? It was a hard saying. Who can hear it? Because the fact of it was, a lot of people was following him for the benefits of him. And what because of him, I tell you tonight, you get saved. And because you see yourself for what you are, see him for who he is. Amen. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You know what? Why men go to hell, don't you? I'll tell you why. John 16. Of sin, because they believe not. That's what I'm preaching on, believing not. Man don't believe, he's still in sin.
Right.
And the sin's what's going to condemn him. See, the only thing that's covering me, or may I say, thank God, keeping me, what Jesus say? He said over there in the Word of God, he said, them that I've not lost a one. He's keeping me in the Passover night. What did he do? What did God do? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll protect you because of the blood. That's the only protection you have tonight. And when God sees you, when he sees me, you know what he'd say? He said, he's a guilty sinner. And Jesus says, wait a minute, Father, I'm in him and he's in me. He said, he's not guilty.
Amen.
That's right, isn't it? He's not guilty. If he's saved, he's not guilty. But if he ain't saved, he's guilty. But I'll tell you, one time you were charged guilty and Christ took your place and delivered you from guilt and justified you by faith and made you, thank God, listen, free and accepted in the beloved and because of Christ. Hey, you know what sends a man to hell? It's sin. You say, what about unbelief? Well, sin, that's why they got sin. They hadn't believed. The root of everything, sin. Why did Jesus die? For sinners? For sin? God put upon him all the sin. He became sin. The Bible said the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what condemns a man is sin. You say, what about unbelief? Well, what about people who's never heard about Jesus? I know it's been debated with me, but I believe the Bible said then that's without the law shall perish without it. And that's why it's the church's responsibility to get the gospel out and the sinners tonight. But brother, the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 that they can see that there's a sovereign, there's a creator, and they're without excuse tonight. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, that's why they need to hear the gospel tonight. That's why, thank God, you ought to run around the church. You could have been born in another land that never would have heard the gospel. Amen. Ask Brother Joe. Been over to Haiti and some of them countries where they witch doctors and all that bunch of filth going on. Hate God. And brother, I'm telling you what, I thank God for them that get saved there. But brother, I'm telling you what if you're pouring there and you never heard the gospel and you're under the influence of the devil and all the wickedness are going on in these other countries and people, my friend, and these other uncivilized places, my friend, that could have been you if it hadn't been for the grace of God. And God having mercy on you and let you be born in America and hear the word of God preached and God save your wretched soul. You could be in hell tonight had it not been for the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's sin that man's got to give account for. The only thing about it, a man that's saved don't have to never give an account for sin. It's already been taken care of. And once a sinner sees that, hey, light comes on. He says, wait a minute. Christ took all my sin on Calvary. He gave himself for it. He laid my sin on him. And when he died for sin. That's right. Christ died for our sins. According to Scripture. That's right. And all my sins was placed upon him. And when revelation came to me of myself and realization of my sin, and I bowed before the King of Kings and cried out to the Lord Jesus by faith, and he come in and saved me, he let me know, thank God, all my sins were gone. He took every one of them away because they laid on his son at Calvary. Amen. Listen to me. It's so simple. It's hard. It's so simple. It's hard. So simple as hard. But why would a man think he could go to heaven some other way or be saved some other way? If that's true, why did Christ come to Calvary? Why didn't Jesus say, now boys, just do the best you can, be baptized, join the church, and I'll tell you what, when the day he comes to an end, he said, I'll weigh you good and you bad, and all of us will go to hell. That's right. That's where we'd go. There ain't a man living that's got good, better than bad. Friend, oh, you might decide of men, but you don't decide of God. Because he said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Everything we've ever laid our stinking hand to, it was laid to by a defiled man and a depraved creature that could never please a holy God. And brother, now I'd be a foolish man to think that I could do something to get the approval of God. Hey, the only way to get approval with God is your Savior. That's the only one that God said that he is pleased with. Hey, God's pleased with heart Christ in. Amen. And so they believe not because of the record and the revelation. They won't believe it or say, they say, no, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I don't see him that bad. Can I tell you what? It's what you are. I'm not trying to make it to heaven tonight. I'm already in heaven.
That's right.
Old C.H. Spurgeon said, he said for a lost man to go to heaven, he would be out of element. It'd be like a tree out of water hanging on a fish out of water hanging on a tree. He'd be out of element. His element's the water. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm already there. Heaven's in me. I mean, brother, birth me in the family of God. He put a divine nature in me that, brother, I'm not going to be a stranger in heaven. Thank God I'm going to be a resident there. I know where I'm going to go. I know what's going to be. Thank God I'm going to be in the family of God and my Lord. Amen. But a lot of people think you're trying to make it. I hope I make it. I'm glad, thank God, I made it. I ain't hoping I make it. I'd hate people say, I hope he made it. What they depending on? They depend on themselves. They depend on the grace of God. They foolish, friend. That's what the battle's been down through the years. Hey, God, this thing, you can be saved one day and lost the next. I'll tell you, if that was true, they ain't the one of them making it. Hey, man, their thoughts ain't going to make it. Your thoughts wouldn't make it. Even after you've been saved, are you thought enough to send you into hell the day after you got saved, probably? You've done things and I've done things, thank God, that would have condemned us to the devil's hell if it wasn't for the keeping grace of God. And God seeing you in Christ, that's the only thing that's holy about you tonight and good about you tonight. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, a man's condemned not because my friend, he hadn't done enough works. He's condemned because he don't believe. He couldn't do enough works to go to heaven.
No, right.
I want to say this tonight. Get this. Men's condemned only of unbelief. They condemn because they're unsaved.
Yeah.
Notice what Jeremiah said. He said the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. They're not saved because of blindness.
Right.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're blinded to the truth. They're blinded to the truth. Who's the truth? Christ. They're blinded to Him. They're blinded to the truth. The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But see, the knowledge of the truth is revealed by the truth of the Spirit. Or the Spirit of truth, may I say that. That's how you receive it. That's why people sit in church all their life and the Holy Ghost never they won't receive the knowledge of the truth. The Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the next verse says, there's one God between God and men. The man, there's one a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what he's talking about there. The truth is Christ. It's not nobody else but Christ. And that's the only way a man will ever have. Ain't got a representative. Ain't got to represent his lost soul before the Father. Amen. That's the knowledge of the truth. Say, so you've got to be baptized to go to heaven? No. You got to be. We believe as a Baptist church that you need to be baptized by water into the local assembly. Because the Bible said in Acts 2, they that gladly received His word were baptized and were added unto the church.
Yeah.
But there's no water baptism, salvation. There's no water that can save you.
That's right.
The Church of Christ preach that, you know. You got to be baptized. I told you about my uncle. He's just lost. Never known nothing about God. Never went to the house of God. Never had no interest in Him. And he got down to dying, and there were people, was Church of Christ people, and they wanted to take him up there in his wheelchair and duck him. Because they thought that would get approval of God. Son, if I thought that would get approval of God to get everybody in here, I could put them in the baptistry. I'd say, son, you want to go to heaven? Come on in here. I've got to put you in the water now. No, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, not in the water.
That's right.
And you don't get in Christ by the water.
That's right.
Amen. You get in Christ by the Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the new birth. That you're baptized into one body, which is Christ's body. And brother, you can't get there no other way. Men's blinded to the truth tonight. And you know, I've talked to people that go this false doctrines and they don't know nothing about God. And I say, you know, Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only truth. And they'll say, you're right. And next Sunday, that same crowd will stand up, and the minister will get up and say, "Now we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins."
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That's my wife. She's raised in it.
That's right, brother. Right.
Son, you'd think you was at an up and down church. Hey, up and down all the time. Up and down. Let's stand and confess this. Let's give the Apostles' Creed, and they believe in one holy Catholic church.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can believe in it, but I don't. I believe in God's church. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not, and I never will be. I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
That's right. And I'm a churchman. I'm not a universalist. Amen. That's what they are. That's what the word Catholic means. Universalist.
Yeah.
The only Catholic nuns I see in the Bible is none righteous, none doeth good,
yeah.
None that understandeth, none that seeketh after gods.
Yeah.
That's right. There ain't no such thing. But you know what? That's man's religion. All they're going through is an Old Testament economy. And they're trying to go back and make these men priests like they got the authority to forgive men's sin. They go to a little confessional booth and people go in there and slide them some money.
Yeah.
And he tells them what he's done. He said, you forgive it. And he'll walk out on the backside and drink liquor again and come back the next Saturday night and say, let me ask you. He said, I got some penance to make. I got some confession to make.
Yeah.
And they'll do some Hail Marys, forgive him. I'll send him out on his road to hell.
Yeah.
And we wonder, that's where the world's going tonight. Amen. They put everybody in their same boat. And I'm going to tell you what they call us. They said, them babies like us a bunch of troublemakers.
I'll
tell you why. Because we don't believe what they believe. If them three Hebrew boys had about the idol, they wouldn't have gotten the trouble they got into. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus was with them. But I'll tell you what, if it had been the average Southern Baptist preacher with his hair down on his collar, thank God, that goes and plays golf and drinks alcohol, and them bunch of Catholics, my friend, that's a bunch of wine bibbers and wine sippers, and you can still, Brother Randy, that epistle up there said free wine in there, didn't they? And I may tell you, that's just what they put on a sign to advertise. But you know what? Listen to me tonight. They can go out and do what they want to and deceive a crowd of people. And if the devil got up the next Sunday in the pulpit and he said, "I'm the devil," they'd say, "Well, my grandpa's buried out there and I'm not going nowhere." We had a bad day, folks. Everybody's trying to get along with everybody. And you know what? Let me get back to my point. Them three Hebrew boys, they said, "Bow to the image." They said, "Wait a minute, the sheriffs are doing it. The governor's doing it. Yeah. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't y'all boys do it?" I mean, the First Baptist preachers have done it. The Lutherans done it. The Catholics done it. But you bunch of men, you think you, I mean, you isolators, and you don't want to come around us when we have our ecumenical Thanksgiving service, amen, and our Easter service, and where all these religions get together, and we just won't get together as one, and it don't matter if the Baptist gets up, it don't matter if the Lutheran gets up, it don't matter if the Catholic gets up, Presbyterian gets up, whether they say, whether they carry the right Bible, or whether they preach the right gospel, it don't matter. We just want to get along with everybody. Get along to hell is what they're going to do. That's where they're going. Yeah, they said, "No, we're not going to bow." King got mad and said, "Turn the furnace up high, boys." Hey, yeah, they threw them in there. Jesus walking around in there with them. I'm going to tell you what. It's never been popular to be a Christian. If you're looking for popularity, friends, and you know what I thought today, dear God, I mean, some of these places isn't nothing more than a social club and a YMCA. That's all it's become in the local church, to entertain people and make them feel like they are really a part of things, you know, going there and do their religious calisthenics, and they can get up and say their little piece, and all they got's a bunch of mess, amen. I mean, put the children back there in a puppet show, amen. Thank God, put them in teen church, where somebody's back there and the man of God's out of here sweating and preaching, and they back there eating a cookie and drinking a Coca-Cola, and my friend, it's a sad shape, isn't it? And they come in, I told my wife this morning on the way home, I said, "Boy, I'll tell you what, I thank God there ain't many places would have took that this morning." And say, "What in the world? That man's preaching like he lives in the 1800s. Brother, the Word of God hadn't changed." That's right. The Word of God hadn't changed. The Word of God don't change with the years, friend. It's the same, thank God, as when your grandpa preached it. And when your grandma believed it, they didn't have a whole lot of theology. They just had a whole lot of faith. And they believed the old book. And they wasn't slipped in with some, my friend, some false version. And some man getting up with, amen, and trying to tell them something wasn't in the book. Amen. They knew better than that. But I'll tell you, listen, friend, men's condemned because they unsaved, they're blind. I'll tell you, they're unsaved because of bondage, too. They're in bondage to sin. Men love darkness rather than light.
They do.
Notice this here, what Job said. "How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water." He loves sin. He's born that way. He's in bondage to religion. You ever ask yourself, listen to me, have you ever asked yourself, and if you're saved and born again, you got the witness of God, but have you ever just asked yourself to check up and say, "Am I just religious? Am I just religious? Am I just doing this just because I'm religious? Or my husband does it, or my wife does it, or it's just a thing to do?" That's bondage. That's really bondage. Wouldn't it be bondage tonight for you to try to live right and not have right in you? There's a lot of people in religious bondage. You'd be surprised the Holy Ghost really come through here tonight and started pulling back the claws and the mask. And You'd be surprised how many people in this church never have been saved. It'd shock you. What you need to do tonight is say, am I in bondage to a religion? A Baptist religion? And the preacher left, I'd be gone too.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on.
That's right. I don't really want to go to church, but my wife goes or my husband goes. Or I've been raised like that, and that's the right thing. Thank God you have. But I don't have to go around like an FBI agent to keep people in church. That's in them. Oh, do you ever get where you don't want to go? Hey, I don't know if anybody every once in a while gets tired and weary in the body and says, I'd rather stay at home tonight. But there's a Holy Ghost in me. He says, preacher, hey, God, get up and go. That's the will of God. And you want to be there. You get here and thank God you perk up. Amen. That's right. But a lot of people's in religious bondage. And they can't get out of it because of P-R-I-D-E.
Yeah, that's right.
They're unsaved. Do you think there's ever been anybody that's laying in the casket in this church that everybody said, thank God he went to heaven, but he really didn't?
That's right.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. I won't know where I'm going.
Amen.
I don't want to go to hell on the account of nothing.
Yeah, nice.
I want to know I'm saved.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, when I hear a type message, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll say, Lord, I want a witness.
Yeah, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad I'm saved tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God.
Yeah.
Preacher didn't save me.
Yeah.
Lord saved me.
Amen.
Are you in bondage to religion? A lot of people's in bondage to better than thou.
Yeah.
That's what the prodigal's brother was. He's better than the son that come home when he had been out living wrong. He's better than him. But now he's worse off.
Right.
And two men went to pray. The Pharisee, he's better than that other man. Now he's worse off.
Yeah, right.
Are you really saved? I mean, are you really saved?
Amen.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, right.
You had a new birth? God lives in you, and the Holy Ghost witnesses that in a strong and known way. When the man of God preaches, it don't offend you. You say, praise God for truth.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's right.
You love the brother.
Right.
You're not sitting around saying, I wish I wasn't in that. Well, let me tell you, if you're in it, you're in it because he puts you in it. And I'm going to tell you this, brother, you better listen to me. When that prodigal come home, he wasn't the one that put the robe on. His daddy said, you put it on him. You know who put it on him? The Holy Ghost. That's who put it on you. That's right, brother. That's the Holy Ghost what's put on you. And I'm going to tell you what, you saved, read it born again. You might get under a juniper tree like Elijah. But I'll tell you what. You'll never get out of him.
Yeah.
And he'll never get out of you. And brother, you might go through some low spots as a Christian. But I'll tell you what, there's an ever-present God that'll bring you through it. He can't deny himself. He's in you. And his witness is in you. And he'll let you know you're his. I ain't gonna like that song when he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. A lot of people's in the bondage to religion. I'll say this and I'm through. I'll tell you why they're condemned. Unbelief, unsaved, and unrighteous. He said, no, you're not unrighteous. You're not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you hearing me.